And if you want to be a part of the conversation too, then subscribe to my Patreon, www.patreon.com/Mr. Chaz, and join the conversation. Ask your own question.
Communication, just learning to have that open line of communication with your kids and what value that brings them, but also what value that's been bringing me.
As long as you are continuing to grow and do better, you're good. So I think my advice would be to love yourself too. Like, love your kids and love yourself and do your best, but don't beat yourself up when you're imperfect, because nobody needs that.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your leadership, parenting, or teaching journey. And today, I have a really exciting episode for y'all today. I've been looking forward to doing this for a while. I have some celebrities here joining us today. And their names are Elizabeth and Jason. They're also known as the runaway parents from The Parent Test, also known as the free range parents on The Parent Test. And as many of you guys may know, I've been watching the show and kind of reviewing some of the clips that I've seen on the show. And I've got to say that when I saw them, I had to try to find them, and I don't know, I think maybe they commented on one of my posts, and I'm like, oh, I gotta talk to them, because they are probably my favorite couple on the show. And I just want to just talk to them and just want us to be in the same world. So without further ado, Elizabeth and Jason, why don't you introduce yourself, and then we'll go right into the conversation.
Awesome. Hi, we're Liz and Jason Day, and we have six feral children. I call them six feral children. We have six kids. Our oldest is almost 27. We have a 24-year-old, 15-year-old, 11-year-old, 9-year-old, and 7-year-old. We are currently traveling full-time around the country. We call ourselves the runaway parents because we broke free, ran away from normal to try to just reset life and live it wholeheartedly. With intention. We did that in our fifth year of doing that. And when we ran away, we kind of ran away from everything that we had, not everything, but a lot of what we had already been doing to reset it and to look at each piece of our life and be like, what fits and is this best? So that's been our journey for the past 5 years.
Well, I'm thankful for y'all just embarking on the journey, because now so many people, I know so many people watching the show get to benefit from the stories you're telling and your experience. And I want to ask you about what your experience is being on The Parent Test. Do you find like it's something that's kind of helped you grow? Is it something that just kind of tell me about your experience? I want to hear about both of your experiences.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for letting us come on the show and talk with you, because I think what you're doing is important and I appreciate the conversations that you're having. I think one of the biggest takeaways that I took away from being a part of this was the conversations we would have, hours and hours of conversations we would have, whether it was on camera or off camera, and just the love that everybody had, but the path they were taking to get that end result. And there was little nuggets that I was like, okay, I want this. And one of them would be not being afraid to set expectations for your children and encouraging them to try and achieve those expectations. I was nervous to do that. I was afraid that I would be putting my own thoughts and desires onto them and trying to make them become something I want and not what they want. But as talking to those that are there, I don't know, I kind of understood it a little bit differently, to where it's not bad to set them some expectations and to give them that push and guidance and encourage them to go through those hardships, so that we're not taking away their struggles in life and allowing them to just grow and develop into who they're trying to become.
Yeah. And I think, I'm thinking of the rock climbing challenge that Y'all did. And I really love the way that you guys navigated that, the pep talks, the encouragement, the support. So I'm actually planning a summer camp for some of the kids that I work with, and rock climbing has made it on the camp calendar.
Now, I love it.
So you guys have inspired me definitely in that way. I was like, well, we definitely have to go rock climbing because this is going to be a great experience for everyone. What was your experience, Elizabeth?
So from the get-go of the show, when the show approached us, it was about the conversation. That was the focus. It's a lot of why I share what I do on social media as well. It's just to like start a conversation to get people to like question why they do things and like, just in general, that's the type of person that I am. I'm inquisitive. Like I'm curious. So the conversation is why I decided to do this show, because you're really putting your whole everything out there, right?
Yeah.
And so for people to have judgments and to a microscope, you're under a microscope. But I believed in this conversation, and just parroting what Jason said, I think like what you're doing is exactly what I was hoping to do by being on the show, like having these healthy conversations, getting people to like think about things and modify things if they need to. But my experience on the show was, it was mixed for me in a lot of ways. Because I am so passionate about like this topic, I realized that like I need to get better at being more empathetic. Like I try to be an empathetic person, but also that context really matters, right? We're all trying our best, and while certain practices may not be as like helpful or healthy, we all really are just trying our best, but we don't know what we don't know, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
So there were so many things that we pulled, but ultimately it's that we're all very similar. Like we have our labels on the show, but when it comes down to it, we're so similar. We're so similar, and we have our labels, but we all are like doing different things from each parenting style, right? Like you would think that free range means like there's no rules, there's no structure, there's no boundaries, there's no achievement. And I feel like I'm a high achievement person by nature. So I also feel like I'm that way with my kids. That's my journey. His journey is a little bit different, but so it's interesting that like, we're all very similar. And I think in parenting, we're all very similar.
Mm. So on the show, I heard you say a couple of times that you're recovering helicopter parents, and that you used to be helicopter parents, and, now you're not, I mean, you've changed so much. You're now on a show where the label you were given is free range, which one would kind of think is kind of the opposite of helicopter. You're not hovering over them. You are giving them lots of space to go out and to play. And I guess, and especially as you talk about, you know, context, I want to ask you, like, first, why do you think that you chose to be helicopter parents, or did you choose, or is it something that you fell into? And then what was that thing? Like, what was that moment, or what was that thought, or what was that Instagram post that inspired you to say, like, we want to do something different? Like, what was that?
So I think the driving factor was also the reason for the change. Like the driving factor for the helicopter is my anxiety. Like I wanted to control the situation as much as possible. I wanted to control their safety. I wanted to control their behavior. I wanted to control people like who were in their life, where they went for safety reasons. And when they're younger, like I can totally understand that to some degree, but also learning more about it, like developmentally, they do need that freedom to grow and make mistakes and like bump their head and stuff like that, right? But ultimately, it was the anxiety that came from being a helicopter parent where I was like, this anxiety is not making me a good mom. Like, I'm so anxious about controlling and hovering that it's making me even more anxious and more like, and less kind and less patient. Because if that is what you're trying to do, it's impossible. Like, it's impossible to always like be there for them. And I think also we have two older kids. And so seeing the fact that when they leave your home, you have no control over them. It was perspective too, right? Like, I got to a point and I was just like when we launched, like when we left and hit the road, like I was still pretty helicoptery, but my kids, older kids were gone at that point. And I was just like, I have no control over what they do. I just have to like pray that what I've taught them is going to like serve them in the world. And it was just like a wake up thing for me where if you're doing it with control, that has an expiration date, like that, yeah. It eventually ends. So then I started looking more into like, okay, what am I trying to do here? What do I want for my kids? Not, and I don't want to put anything on them, but there are things that I want them to have, and confidence and empowerment was like at the top of the list. Independence, all of that. Like, I'm always going to be here, but I can't always be there, like physically, right? So I wanted them to feel empowered to make these decisions on their own. And that probably comes from our background where I didn't feel empowered in a lot of ways. And so I want that for my children, to be able to be self-disciplined, to be able to make their decisions and to feel good about themselves.
So what did that conversation sound like between you two? You know, because it sounds like probably more than one conversation. You said when you launched, you were still helicoptery. So it wasn't just one day when you're just like, okay, we're just going to cut the cord. You guys are free now. So it wasn't quite like that. What was that process kind of like? And I'd like to kind of hear kind of just from like both perspective, like what was that kind of those conversations or that journey kind of like, and kind of those maybe mental hurdles you had to kind of go through with each other and how you kind of did that together.
So there's, I guess maybe to start off, I would not qualify me as a helicopter parent during that time frame. I was more of the free range, or I don't even know what you would call it.
Yeah.
If you had to give it a label, but it was not the helicopter. I very much so enjoyed being able to go out and explore and gain that independence and gain that courage to be able to go out and to, you know, constantly go a little bit further and a little bit further and just kind of learn your surroundings. That being said, there was always that barrier, invisible boundary, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, you can go this many blocks away, but then you had to come home depending on your age and things. And so for me, the helicopter parent style was a lot of a struggle for me. Because the kids would want to go out and play and they'd want to go to their friend's house. And it wasn't as simple as, yeah, go ahead and go to your friend's house. It was, well, let's have your friend come over to our house so that way we can keep an eye on you, make sure you're safe. And so for me, the transition of going to there was a little bit of a relief because there wasn't that constant having to babysit. And it was giving them the ability to develop who they are and to get, I mean, just the simplest thing is when they graduate from being able to cross the street by themselves, where you can stand there and watch them look both ways and they get that check, you know, that they are now allowed to cross the street. Mm-hmm. I feel like that, letting them have their wins. And so the conversations, I think, were back to your question, the conversations started long before we decided to have that reset. Like we said, we did have some older kids, and when they did leave the house, that's when we're like, okay, we need to have a serious sit down, evaluate, what are we doing? Is this working? And if not, do we still want it to be a part of our life? Or do we want to try and incorporate something new? And I think, I guess that's how I would describe it going.
Yeah. I think that it was me realizing that it came from a place of anxiety and wanting to protect my kids. Ultimately, that's what helicoptering is, right?
Yeah.
But recognizing that that's what all parents want. It's there's a way of doing too much sometimes though. And so realizing I was doing too much and then letting the little bits of things happen and then seeing their face and their confidence, I'm like, okay, like they're developing as people because I'm letting the leash go a little bit. So it was kind of a slow transition and I still fight it. Like I'm still fighting. I'm still recovering. Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it would, I think I grew up a latchkey kid, right? I didn't have that structure. I was very independent because I had to. I'm one of seven, the oldest girl, and raised my siblings. So that's just who I am. So the idea of like not protecting them in that way freaked me out. But having Jason's perspective of being like, no, you can do this in a healthy way, it was really helpful to me for him to say things or like to show me. I would like freak out like, oh my gosh, Doc, you're riding with the kids on the dirt bike, you know, and then eventually like trusting him that he was my example of how that can be done in a healthy way alleviated and made me feel like I could do it myself too. So I think it was more modeling, him modeling it for me, and then me being very aware of my mental health and mm. and why that was driving what I was doing. So being self-aware.
Mm. Okay. So Jason didn't really, so what I'm hearing is Jason didn't have kind of as much of the anxiety about things. He was kind of a little bit more kind of willing for them to kind of go out a little bit. You kind of felt like wanted to kind of keep them in, kind of keep the leash a little bit slow, but you kind of started to see it as your perspective started to change a little bit. You started to see like, okay, if they go out and they, you know, play, they cross the street, like they're still safe. Like, it's okay. Like the world didn't end. Like like my body felt like it was going to.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you kind of talked about like your kids graduating a little bit, but it almost kind of sounds like it's also part of it was like the parents graduating a little bit of just like mm-hmm. actually feeling safe to do that. Now I want to ask like, okay, so you kind of started going on, you started becoming your recovering helicopter parent, allowing them to explore more and to do more. Where did you find like the kind of hiccups in that? Because whenever you're transitioning to something new or doing something different, and as you guys said, like as you guys have already said, that you've kind of done it slowly, were there any parts of just like the helicopter parenting that you almost maybe miss a little bit, or maybe not necessarily miss, but like, oh, I now have to maybe, you know, because I have to, because I'm not seeing them all the time, now I actually need to teach them how to cross the street or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, what were those kind of hiccups in the transition?
Yeah, so that was the transition. I don't even feel like it was a hiccup. It was a very intentional, okay, if we want them to have these skills, then we need to teach them. Like the reason that our 9-year-old cooks is because he's been on my hip cooking like since he was like a year old. And so he can make a full-on meal now, like most of my children can, because we spent time in the kitchen teaching them about knife safety, about like, you know, temperature, like all of that stuff. So it was putting in the work, and it's exhausting. Like people think that free range is just letting them do whatever, but it's not. We don't let our kids just do something without us guiding them until we feel like they are like, and guiding, I'm not saying pushing, I'm saying guiding, like we're there. We're going to like, let you fail, we're gonna let you stumble, we're gonna let you, but we're right here, we're here to catch you, you're still safe. Yeah. But we're also, like I said on the show, I was like, I want my kids to recognize and honor their feelings and their anxiety, and then help guide them through it, walk them through it. I want them to feel like they can do anything. And it, like developmentally, when you're right there in these stages where they're like, I have a child who has pretty bad anxiety, but to have me right there, but not pushing him or telling him what to do, I feel like has been so helpful for him to be like, I've got my safety net, but I'm doing this. It's not me, it's him. And he knows that. And he feels so good afterwards. So it was a transition of like, never let, like even down to chores, right? Like I did everything. That was part of a helicopter thing. I just did everything for them. I took care of them. And then we call it leveling up. We have a discussion with them and we say, okay, now we're leveling up. You are capable at this age to do these things. And so we're going to teach you how to do it. We'll walk you through how to clean this room step by step until you get it. And then you're going to be responsible for it. So we have those conversations all along the way. And that's one thing I've noticed in parenting. Like we have those conversations where we're just like, okay, they're old enough now to do this. Why are we doing this? Okay. We need to have a chat with them.
Yes. Yes. And you know what in hearing you talk, what I recognize it, what you're teaching them to do and what you said you want them to do to be able to recognize their anxiety and then walk through it. That's exactly what, you were struggling to do as an adult parent. Well, first being able to actually recognize what you were feeling and recognize where all of this was coming from, where kind of your emotions that was kind of creating the behavior that you didn't like was coming from. And then being able to like, okay, I still feel anxious, but I'm still going to walk through this and I'm still going to walk towards free range or walk towards giving them more freedom and more responsibility. And even though I still feel anxious. And it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like it's something that you've really, that's helped you grow and something that you're really proud of. I guess I want to ask a follow-up question is, you also said something else is that the teaching is exhausting, but also the helicopter parenting is exhausting. Which one, in your opinion, and you guys can both answer, which one is more exhausting in your opinion?
Helicopter.
Initially, I thought it was teaching, but as they've learned their lessons, you're not having to follow up with it. I'm quickly realizing that, yes, it's a little more work on the front side, but it's so much more enjoyable on the back end.
Yeah. It's not sustainable. Like, yeah. So that's where it's like that click that happened for me. I was just like, this isn't sustainable. Like, I don't want children to go into the world not being capable or feeling like they can do things or being completely reliant on me. Helicopter is way more exhausting. And that's why, and I'll touch on this on the show when I was speaking to the other parents, the helicopter parents, like that was coming from my heart, mom to mom. I have been in that place of feeling like we just need to protect our babies. So I get it. But I just wanted her to know that it's not neglect to let them go a little bit. And so, because that's what was in my head, like, no, you have to protect your kids. Like, this is about protection. Mm-hmm. And then recognizing, like, I was holding them back.
Yeah. And so Jason, you said you felt like on the front end, at first you thought that the teaching was more exhausting and more work. And now you don't, how long did you feel that the teaching was more exhausting, and at what point did you start to see like, okay, or how long did it take? Or what point were you like, okay, this is actually something to this, or this is actually better than the helicopter parenting right that we were doing?
I think there's two parts to that. And the one part is me maturing and growing, developing an understanding of, let me try that again. So me understanding that as the kids are going, let me just start with an example. So if one of the kids leaves and goes to their friend's house and goes and plays, they're supposed to be home at 5 o'clock. It's now 5 o'clock. They're not home. That's fine. 5:10. Now I'm starting to get anxious, I'm starting to get worried. And that anxiety seemed like it came back to me because they weren't just in the backyard where I could look over and see them. So I started to pick up on this anxiety. And so I had to learn to figure out how to manage that. And so that was a hurdle that I'd never anticipated having to overcome. And so as I've started to learn how to manage that, then it became the whole teaching the children became a little bit more, I was able to process, I guess, a little bit more that, yes, I'm working on this on the front end, but I am getting that payoff on the back end. And I feel like it probably took me, I'm a slow learner. It probably took me like a year and a half before I was finally like, wait a minute. I do feel like I'm seeing this. This is paying off. Like they are doing this and we're getting along in these ways and things are, we're starting to see these positive things. But yeah, that's.
I don't think a year is too bad. I think it's taking a lot of people a lot more time than a year. And what about you, Liz? What about like how long? Because again, you said recovering and you're still recovering. But at what point from you actually teaching, were you starting to actually feel, were you starting to not only like see, but also feel like this is really paying off? Because, and the reason why I'm asking both of you this question, because a lot of times people will maybe start to like, okay, maybe see an Instagram post, listen to a podcast, like, okay, I'll try it. And then it's like, okay, I'm giving up. This is way too much work. And you guys, you said you had seven kids or
six? Six. Yep.
Six kids. Yeah. And that's a lot of, with a lot of teaching to do, right? And so how long do you feel like it took you to kind of feel like, to really feel like it was paying off? And not just intellectually, like, okay, I've read some books and I'm like, I know this is what the right thing, but actually feel and see like, okay, this is, we're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, you say you're a slow learner. I would think because I still feel like I'm in the process of still doing all of this. I would say about 2 years ago, I feel like I was starting to see the reflection on them, like how they were behaving, their confidence. And then their actions too. Hearing other people talk about my kids and like, they're so respectful. They're so kind. They're so smart. They're so, and like, when you hear it reflected back to you from other parents, when you feel like you're just messing up all the time, because that's just how I feel, I'm always messing them up. It was so nice. Like the more we have been around other people and to get that back, it's like validated what we're doing. And so I would say it probably took 2 years or so for me to be able to be like, okay, this is it. This is good.
Let me ask. Okay, so Jason, took you about 1 year and you were already, you know, it took you 1 year and you were already a little bit free rangey, mm-hmm, kind of to begin with, and it took you, you know, two years. And you know, I just want those who are out there listening just to know that, like, whether it takes you a week, a month, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, know that like it's, we're all going to be works. We're all going to be like, it's all going to be a process. It's all going to be a journey for all of us. We're all works in progress. So know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I think what you said, you know, your two older kids, they left and you realized, okay, wow, did I like actually teach? Do I feel confident in like what I taught them to go out there and to be successful? Or did I just do everything to protect them for their entire life? So like, how do I know that they can look out for themselves when they've never really had the opportunity to? And I think that's what a lot of kind of this conversation and a lot of this comes, it's about teaching skills, right? Mm-hmm. And so that they're going to be able to be successful and not just all at once, right? Because it's not that you said, all right, we're free range parents now. You got the keys to the, I was going to say the car, but I guess the RV. You guys go ahead and get the map and choose where we're going to go. Because, you know, unless you're on the parent test, right? Which I kind of want to bring it back to. But I think it's, would you guys agree? Oh, actually, I'm not going to ask you who agrees. I'm just going to ask you, what do you think is like for the parents out there who are trying to make this transition that you guys are making, have made, in the process of making. What I want to hear from each one of you, and I want them to be different, going to challenge you guys here. One piece of advice that you would give to someone to parents trying to make that transition. Whoever goes first is going to have the advantage. So
yeah, I'm going right now. I would say trust in yourself and trust in your child. It's not easy, but you're capable. You're capable and your child is capable. For me, I also feel like research and like, you know, cold, hard facts of like history and science was very helpful for me, because I'm like, I'm not just willy-nillying this. I'm doing this based off of a lot of information.
Yeah.
So research.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna dig into that a little bit. Before you go, Jason, how do you trust yourself? Especially when your body is saying, mm-hmm. your physical body is saying like, keep them here. Don't let them leave the house. Like,
yeah.
How do you trust yourself?
It's difficult. That part has been a journey for me too, but recognizing that, being obviously aware of the anxiety and what's affecting the way that I think and feel, that has been huge for me. I'm able to say, oh, hold on. You're feeling this feeling. Why are you feeling it? Okay, I don't want to leave my kid. I don't want my kids out of my sight because A or B or C or D could happen. And like, why do I feel that? Because this happened to me, or, you know, that could happen. Or I saw that post, or that I saw that news story, or, you know, all of those things. And so I tried to take like a overall like logical approach to my emotions, which doesn't make sense, but it's the only way to bring me back down when my natural state is to just be so anxious and so amped up. I have to use that other part of my brain to be like, okay, simmer down now. Let's be logical. What's the worst that could happen? Don't go there. I mean, be quiet. Stop talking about that. Come back down. Right? Because you do that. But like, just like calming yourself down.
Yeah. So it sounds like you talk to yourself. You do a lot of like self-talk, and that kind of helps to kind of ground you in reality. And then you will kind of make a decision. And I'm sure it probably takes some time going back and forth with yourself, but it sounds like it's a lot of self-talk.
It is. And it's also not being as impulsive either, because I would always just say no, 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 no. And then I'd be like, ask myself, why are you saying no? And then I could logically walk through that and then make an educated and informed decision instead of just doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much power in pausing instead of just reacting. And that's something we talk about all the time. And so you're hearing it from another person. The power of the pause is really powerful. All right, Jason, it's your turn. What's the one piece of advice that you'd give to people out there making this, trying to make this transition, wanting to make this transition, interested, on the fence?
Yeah. So as you're asking that question, I'm trying to think like back to that time when I was trying to make that transition, what I was going through, what I was thinking. And one of the things that keep coming to mind is I was always beating myself up and realizing that I haven't figured it out yet. And how can I expect my kids to do this if I don't even have it figured out? But I think as somebody, I don't even know where I heard it, but somebody said, just remember, this is your first day of parenting a child at that age. And it's their first day of being a child at that age, having a parent that's this age trying to teach them. And so you're really trying to work out this relationship with each other where you're both trying to learn and grow from each other, because I learn from my kids every day. And so as we're having that back and forth, grow together relationship, I think that's more valuable than just the, okay, I'm now a helicopter. Okay, now I'm a free range. It's that growing and developing together and molding that relationship.
It's the relationship.
Yeah.
Mm. I kind of heard two big things there. One, really having empathy for yourself and your children, and really like, you know, we don't got to figure it out yet, and like, that's okay. And again, that's something, a huge theme here, like I always say, avoid being a perfectionist, be an improvementist. The goal isn't to be perfect every day. The goal is to improve a little every day. And so, you know, really hearing you kind of like learning to embrace that and that, how that was a big help.
I think that's one of the big takeaways that the show gave me the opportunity to do, because before we were on the show, we had lots of conversations about why would I go on a show where people get to judge my parenting when I haven't even figured out how to do this yet? I don't know how to be a parent. I'm still trying to learn this. We're still trying to research. We're still trying to do that.
Yeah.
But the idea of having this conversation in a group where you have like-minded people wanting to grow and learn from each other just made sense. And ultimately, that's what ended up pushing me over and wanting to go and do this show, was just, if I can learn and take away and others can learn and take away, why would I not be a part of that where we can all grow?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people would look at that and see like the potential of judgment and the scariness of like, because that's really brave to go out there and to really put your parenting on display for the, you know, the entire world to see. And part of the show literally be, all right, let's pick apart the parenting of this short clip that was put together. You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of temptation to just go on the defensive immediately, and to be able to just be vulnerable, to even step on the show and to do it, and to just say, this is what we're doing. You know, this is why we're doing it. We're still here to learn and grow. You know, even just being able to take that step. You only took that step because you were at a place to be vulnerable enough to say, I don't have it all figured out yet, and I'm willing to improve and hear feedback from others. And because you were able to do that and you had that mindset, it actually helped you grow in the show and helped you actually become the better parent, as opposed to, oh, like, I'm afraid of being judged and like, I need to be perfect. Like, I'll go on the show when I'm a perfect parent, and that's when I'll go on the show. And then you lose the opportunity to actually step out there. And I gotta ask you, I got two more questions I want to ask you. Was there one of you or both of you, was it like the process of actually deciding to go on the show? Because you kind of alluded to it a little bit. Were you like, Jason, did Elizabeth bring this idea to you? And you're like, why would I want to do this? And like, she like, what was, which I understand the reaction, if that was your reaction, but like, I guess kind of, how did the conversation go? Like, what helped you feel safe enough to actually do that? So, okay, yeah, there's the idea is, okay, I'm still learning, improving, but like, did you find that safety within each other? Was it like within yourself? Was it just like where
did that? Well, I think that it kind of started off with her, somebody reached out to her, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody reached out to you and asked if you'd be interested in doing it. And so I came home and she kind of joking me around. She's like, hey, would you ever want to be on TV? And kind of just brought it up that way and said that that's what it was.
And he's like, heck no. That's exactly what I said. I said,
nope. No way. But I do know that one of her passions, one of the things that she loves, is just having conversations with people and just talking about things. Not only is she learning, hopefully other people are learning. And then obviously she has conversations with me, and I definitely learned a lot from that too. And so that conversation of just being open-minded enough to even have a conversation and to try and learn what you can from other people. And so she presented that. And that's why I said, like, I was like, yeah, why would I not want to have that conversation? Because I know I don't have this parenting thing figured out. I know I'm still trying to figure it out. So if I have the opportunity to go meet with some people that are got their stuff together, right? They're on a show. They're going to be, hopefully I can pull from them some things so I can learn and grow. But yeah, when she first presented the idea, that there was a hard pass for me.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the mission, right, for me, which is opening up these conversations. That was my driving factor. And that was the reason that he did it, with the condition that people knew we were not thinking that we were perfect parents.
Yeah.
Like, let's make that very clear. We are not parenting experts. We're sharing our experience. We are sharing what's worked for us. We're trying to like give some, you know, some insight. Do we think we're perfect parents? I think we've made it very clear that we do not think we're perfect parents.
And you know what, too? If you, I think it's so much more powerful to admit that and to go into it with that mind and to continue that we're not perfect here. And to be able to show that to your children, I think is way more of a valuable lesson than we got it all figured out and we're perfect and we don't make mistakes. I think like that's a negative lesson. Actually, you know, I don't know where, I think it was someone commented this on one of my videos, is that when you make, you do something the right, like let's say you do something the perfect way, child has one chance to learn, right? Like, okay, that's the way that you can do it, a way to do it. You make a mistake, the child has three chances to learn. One, they get learn what not to do. I'm like, okay, that was a mistake. You know, I see the consequence of that. Two, they learn how to repair from the mistake and apologize and make amends or whatever that is. And three, they learn what to do better next time, right? And how to do better next time. And I think that's so much more valuable than putting the pressure on children, because when we try to pretend we're perfect ourselves, we inadvertently put the pressure on children to be perfect too. And that's, and whether we know it or not, or intend to or not, that gets projected onto them, especially if we're not being intentional. But you being intentional about being imperfect, I think, is so powerful, and allows children to be the imperfect people that they, of course, are, because we're all imperfect. And what we expect, we're not perfect at the age of 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. You know, we're not perfect to the day that we pass, but we expect this child who is new to everything in the world to be perfect or halfway perfect, to have it all figured out. It doesn't make any sense. So I think that's really powerful. I got one last question. It was an important question. I've been asking you guys about what you thought about, you know, the parent test and your experience. I want to ask you about what's your child's experience? What do you think your child's experience is? Have you guys had conversations with your children? How they see it? Do they watch the show? Do they have like, oh, I don't like the way that was depicted. I don't like, is there things that they like or don't like? I would love to hear, you know, because we don't have your children here, but from your perspective, what your children's perspective are.
Yeah. So it was intentional, but like the studio part of this, our children were not a part of. So they didn't hear the feedback from the other parents. This was just an adventure, another adventure to them. We got to go and do some fun things, and they got to see a camera crews and like be on a show, right? So to them, that's their takeaway. We tried to also like in showing it to them. Addie's a little bit older, she's 16. Her perception of it is a little more mature because she understands that it's a TV show. I was actually surprised by her reaction. She's just like, she doesn't understand why anybody would push back anything that we do, because she thinks we're awesome. So I'm like, wow, thanks, babe. Like, she's like, no, I get it. I get why, like, I have consequences or lessons or whatever. I get it. Like, so she's, anyway, the other kids, we just kind of just show them the challenges. We don't really go into the, so we've protected them a little bit from it. And to us, like, it's a cool experience, but being on a TV show isn't really a big deal in that way. Like, we don't think we're celebrities, like you were saying. That makes us crack up because we're not. We're just regular people. And so our kids have maintained that too. Like, they're just like, oh, it's cool. We got to go on these adventures and look, it's on TV. That's so cool, kind of a thing. Yeah. So that's where theirs is, pretty surface level, because we have protected them a little bit from, this isn't necessarily a child's conversation. It is more of an adult conversation. And so, but we have those conversations with them, like the stuff that we talk about on the show, we have them personally. So what do you think the kids like?
Yeah, I think for sure it's the, even if when they do watch the show and there's the conversation parts, they kind of just zone out. And they just sit there and wait anxiously for the part where they're actually doing the activity.
Like, this is boring.
Yeah, no, really. We've made connections and like friendships with other castmates, and we're like daily talking to them, like via whatever, Marco Polo or Skype or whatever it is. So we get to see them. So these kids now have these relationships. And they're like, that's my friend. Like, they're so excited to see their friends on TV too.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay, cool. So the 16-year-old is the only one you kind of watched with it. And she's kind of rooting for you guys. And she's like, why would they push back? Like, why? Yeah, exactly. This is clearly the only way to do things. Why? What's up with these other guys? You think there's going to be a time, and, you know, this might be a really vulnerable question to ask too. Do you think that there's going to be a time where, you know, maybe some of your kids that are younger, they're going to look back and maybe be embarrassed, or maybe on the other flip side, be excited? Maybe one personality you can see being a little bit more embarrassed, and one being a little bit more excited. One might be like, I'm a celebrity, I was on the TV show, telling all their friends, versus like, could you see that? And like, if it, you know, it's just a question, answer everyone. And like, how do you, would you, however you expect for them to respond when they maybe eventually see it? Because I'm sure it'll be something that they remember later, and they'll might want to go back to it if it's still on Hulu and ABC. How would you plan to kind of handle those conversations? And maybe you haven't thought about it, so now you get a chance to think about it on the fly. We're live. Go for it. I'm kidding. It's all recorded. I'm just going to ask the question. Yeah.
Just being receptive, honestly. That's how we take our kids in general. I want to be a place where they can push back, give me things that make me uncomfortable about myself and the world. So I want to be a place where they feel comfortable doing that. So whether it be the show or anything else, we'll be receptive and we'll talk about it and we'll validate how they feel and walk through it with them. That's really like the heart of our family. We spend a lot of time together on purpose. We have these relationships on purpose. Like, it's so, so small, this amount of time that we get with them. And we are their parents, but we want to eventually like be their friends when they leave the house. And we have that relationship with our older kids. So we know that it's possible, but they're still we're still their parents. They still like don't curse in front of us, you know, like they still, there's a respect there, but it's just about being like a safe place for them to be human. And to, we communicate about everything. Like, where do you want to go next? How do you feel about this? How did that make you feel when mommy did that type of things? And it's hard. It is not like it hurts to hear something sometimes, but in the end, like, it is what's best for them. It's the relationship that we're nurturing, not just their behaviors. Mm.
That's powerful. So, you know, I'm hearing if they come back and they said, we don't like that we were on the show, you embarrassed me, or I don't like what you said, you're going to be open to hearing them and let them know that we are a safe place for you to share these feelings and to disagree with something that we've done, and be able to have that conversation. That's really powerful, because I know a lot of adults, current adults right now, who are waiting for that, hoping for that, have given up on getting that from their parents, parenting right now. And so that's really powerful. Thank you guys for coming on. This was a really fun conversation. Is there any last, very, 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 very last question? And before I ask this, the runaway parents, and it's a period on the period, runaway period parents. They're on Instagram. Are you anywhere else?
We're on TikTok and Facebook and YouTube too, I think. But you can search it, but.
Okay, cool. So the runaway parents on all those social media platforms. Follow them, blow them up.
Thank you.
you can follow their journey. Reach out to them. They're still learning and growing. You can let them become a part of your community of people on this journey. Because I think they're absolutely great. So my very last question to you, is there any last words you want to say to the parents out there? Anything that you want to say?
Oh gosh.
And I won't ask follow-up question this time, promise.
No, you're fine.
Something that's been on my mind lately is communication. Just learning to have that open line of communication with your kids and what value that brings them, but also what value that's been bringing me and the connection that comes through having that. And so that's one thing the last couple of weeks that I've been a little bit more mindful of is that connection through communication.
I think the hardest part of this journey for me is feeling like I'm never doing enough. So my advice is always to anybody that feels that way, coming from that place, as long as you are continuing to grow and do better, you're good. Like, you're good. So I think my advice would be to love yourself too. Like, love your kids and love yourself and do your best, but don't beat yourself up when you're imperfect, because nobody needs that. That's not good for anybody.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my